starting right now. So, again, thank you all for joining in. It is an honor and a privilege to have you here and to present what information and knowledge and perhaps wisdom that I have to share with you. Before you leave this TELUS seminar, my goal is for you to all have something of lasting value. I want you to come away from this not just with some ideas that sound nice and are pretty, but something that you can take with you and that you can actually apply and use. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story, how I got to the point where I feel qualified to teach on this topic of abundance. I'm going to give you a few tools that you can use starting today to improve your relationship to yourself and to everything that goes into creating an abundant life. And I'm also going to tell you a little bit about some of my other services that you might find useful. Now, the focus of this webinar is on financial abundance, but of course you can apply these principles to anything that you'd like to have more of in your life. So let me tell you a little bit about my story first. Let's see. So when I first got to college, my intention was to get a degree in electrical engineering. And, you know, for 10 years, I knew that that's what I wanted my life to be. I knew I wanted to be an electrical engineer. And then I got there, and I found it, unfortunately, incredibly boring. I didn't realize how much I enjoyed a variety of topics, and when it got down to just pushing electrons through copper wire, it just bored me to tears. So instead, I switched, and I got my degree in philosophy. And I did that because I really wanted to understand the human condition better. I wanted to understand, you know, why I suffered, why other people suffered, what was making the human condition be what it was, and perhaps find some answers that would make myself more effective in terms of helping the world and helping people to get to the other side of all of that. After college, I went into the Peace Corps, and actually I taught mathematics. And, you know, as it turns out, all that time I spent in engineering gave me the math classes that I needed in order to be a math teacher, and I never would have taken those classes if I had been a philosophy major from the beginning. So the time I spent in engineering turned out to be really helpful. That was the time where I learned that, you know, even when things don't go the way that you planned, you know, I had a 10-year-long plan to be an electrical engineer, and it didn't go that way. It still actually turned out to be very helpful to have that plan and have it turn into something else. And so there's still a way in which everything that you do in your life fits with, you know, with your deeper calling, whatever that turns out to be. And so in the Peace Corps, I got to see firsthand how most people live, which, of course, is, you know, desperate poverty. I lived in one of the 10 poorest countries in the world. And there's a point at which I could have decided to stay and work on helping, you know, the developing world sort of claw out of poverty. But something, you know, I just kind of felt called that didn't feel right for me. I, you know, obviously really admired all the people who did that work, and I was a part of that for a couple of years. But I really felt like my calling was to go back to my country of origin, the richest nation on earth, and help people there develop a better relationship to money so that, you know, there would be a ripple effect in the place where all the resources were. There would be a positive relationship to money that, of course, would, you know, mean having a certain amount of generosity that that I would like to see in the world. Of course, the only problem was that I had a terrible relationship with money myself. And so, you know, in my life, people thought that I was great with money because I didn't owe anything. I saved money every month. Even when I wasn't making very much money, I still managed to squirrel away a little bit. Even in the Peace Corps, I was making less than $5 a day, and I still, you know, managed to save some money there. So I was a bit of a compulsive saver. Even though everybody thought, you know, it was great that I was saving money, I knew I had a very contracted relationship to money, and there was a lot of fear that I had around money. In particular, I just hated the idea of going into debt. I was afraid of being homeless. I mean, things that really weren't an issue at the time, but my mind would really obsess about them. And, you know, I'd already at that point spent a fair amount of time working on confronting my fears. And so when I realized, you know, I just had way too much fear around money, I decided to confront those fears. And through caution to the wind, quit my stable office job. I had a job as a production editor, basically a project manager for books, and was a stable job, but I quit. I decided to work on a career doing energy healing with Reiki, teaching Tai Chi and Qigong, and working on being a life coach. It didn't actually work out that well. Very quickly, I used up my entire savings. I'd spent years just kind of squirreling away a little bit here, a little bit there. And, I lived a very frugal lifestyle, but still, you can't not make money and, spend money on food and rent and so forth and not run out at some point. And so that's what happened. Now, around the time, a little bit before I just completely run out of money, I encountered something called vortex healing, and I want to talk to you a little bit about this because that was really instrumental in my clawing out of debt, clawing out of scarcity consciousness and lack. It was something that just really resonated with me, and in the very first session, it literally felt like I had an emotional exorcism. I just looked up at my healer and just started laughing uncontrollably for a good 10-15 minutes. I just felt so relieved of the burden that I'd been carrying around money and my life and everything. And so something in me knew that I needed to learn more about this. And I didn't have any money, but what I decided to do, I was just sure. I knew. Like, my calling was, you have to do this. And so I swallowed my pride, and I sent an email out to everybody that I knew and asked them for a sponsorship. I said, look, I had this really great experience. I really want to learn more about this. You don't owe me anything, but I would really appreciate it if you could sponsor me for $50. And in return, when I get back, I'll give you 3 free healings. And I had just an amazing response. Lots of friends helped me out, even people I never met before. Some of my friends sent my request to their email list. And people that I never met before emailed me and said, hey, I'd like to help a fellow traveler out on their journey. So here's $50. I was like, wow, that's great. And by the end of it, I had the exact tuition for the class and frequent flyer miles, enough to get a plane ticket, and a friend let me stay on his couch in New York. The class was in New York, and I was in San Francisco. So I had a sense that, the universe was on my side for this. And so I pursued that passion. And, when I discovered how deeply vortex healing worked in terms of transforming consciousness, I just felt like I had to start a healing practice. I had to make this available to other people. And so that's what I did. It was slow going at first. It actually wasn't the right time for me to start a practice. And my teacher tried to tell me that, and I just didn't quite understand what she was trying to tell me. And she said, Nathan, your energy is internal. It's not external. You need to just work on yourself for a while. It's not, it's not time for you to be putting energy outward towards other people. I said, oh, that's what she meant. Okay. So, I stopped my healing practice for a little while until the timing was right. And then I started up again. But in the meantime, I continued to go into debt because I was just not working enough, not making enough as a Reiki practitioner or anything else. I basically just spent a bunch of time working on myself. And in one of my most desperate moments, when just everything was crashing around me financially and I just wasn't making anything, I just sent this call out to the universe. I just asked, like, is there something out there? Is there a consciousness out there that I can connect to, that can, help me to align with abundance consciousness? I just feel like I'm in so much lack and scarcity and fear and contraction, and, there's something that can help me. And to my surprise, something reached back. There was a divine consciousness that reached out to me and gave me a way to connect, whenever I wanted, to bring in abundance consciousness. And so that actually became the basis for divine prosperity. That's what we're going to talk about a little bit more later, because it's pretty important to what I want to convey to you here. But that was just an amazing experience, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. So I'm still trying to get out of debt. I was using the consciousness of the divine prosperity, but I was still just in such lack that I was making a lot of mistakes. I kept trying to start these side businesses that really had nothing to do with my calling, but I borrowed a lot of money from family. I wanted to pay them back. I felt horrible that I was in debt to them, and really no prospects of paying them back. I mean, tens of thousands of dollars. And in the end, I went even further into debt because, you know, in trying to get out of debt, I was building these businesses that weren't working. And in the end, I had about $70,000 in debt. I finally just didn't have any more credit to tap into. My last business died. I let it go. And it was really kind of amazing. That night, my entire system started buzzing with energy. It was really crazy. I had no idea what was going on. But I realized that there was something about surrendering this mindset of trying to work the system, trying to get out of debt, trying to find the angle. There was something in me that just was always trying to, how do I get out of this? How do I, you know, what do I do? How do I manipulate the situation? What strategy do I use to get out of debt, to get out of this crazy debt? And when I let that go, because I really had no other choice, something shifted. Something very deep shifted, and my whole body was buzzing for a good day or two to, you know, integrate and reorient around that. And it was at that point that I realized I just had to focus on my calling as a healer. All these other side businesses were a distraction and weren't really serving me. They weren't serving others. They were just kind of lame. And so that's what I focused on. And a few months later, I did something that literally doubled my income. Overnight. And that's what allowed me to start paying back my debts and to do so in integrity, to do so in alignment with my inner calling. And soon I was paying down, you know, more than $2,000 every month. On average is about, you know, $2,400 every month. And it took a couple of years, but eventually I paid absolutely everybody back. And then I had all this extra income just to enjoy life. You know, all that money that I'd been putting into paying down the debt, principal and interest and so forth, was free now. It could do, you know, go anywhere I wanted. And so, you know, all that work that I had done to build up my consciousness of abundance suddenly came together. And so what was that? What did I do? Well, I'll share that with you in just a minute. But there's some principles here that I want you to understand as far as, you know, what does divine prosperity really mean? What is this manifesting thing that people talk about, the law of attraction, the secret? How does that really work? And I've examined the secret. You know, I've believed in the law of attraction, you know, for years, probably about a decade before the secret even came out. I was thinking about and working with those principles. And what I've realized is that, you know, a lot of those teachings are very surface. You know, there's an element of truth to them, but then what happens is that people, you know, just try and use that principle in a very superficial way to basically spiritualize their process of getting out of their problems and trying to get the world to satisfy an inner sense of lack and need. And so from my perspective, what's going on here, the reason why manifesting works is that the truth underneath this entire cosmos, this entire human drama, is that we are all the one. We are all divinity. We are the source. We are, you know, you can call it God, but basically we are that which created the entire universe. From an Eastern perspective, you could say that we are emptiness expressing itself as form. Before there was anything, there was just emptiness. But the emptiness was, you know, not just, you know, nothingness in the sense of like a vacuum of space. It was actually, because there were no laws of physics, there was no rules. There, you know, anything could happen. It was actually a very dynamic emptiness. There was something very alive about it and something very magical about it. And so our physical universe is actually an expression of the one's intention to experience itself as form. Both as a universe, just a vast, vast universe. If you think about the fact that, you know, we're one planet circling around one star in a galaxy, you know, this galaxy has billions of stars in it, and then there's billions of galaxies. I mean, it's just incredibly vast. And then, you know, so the universe, the one is experiencing itself as this entire universe, and then also as each individual life form, each individual being, each individual soul, that is the one. Having this marvelous experience. And so as the one, we created these bodies and these lives over the course of literally billions of years. It took, that's how much care and patience and time and love and energy that the divine put into creating you and creating your life. Billions and billions of years has been invested into it. And, of course, now what's happened is that we've become identified with our stories, with our pain, with our history, with all the things that haven't gone right in our lives, as well as the patterns that have developed out of that, our strategies and our conditioning. And all this comes, from my perspective, you may or may not believe in this, but I believe in past lives. And so, hundreds, if not thousands of past lives tie into this, as well as the consciousness and the energy that passes down ancestrally through our parents every time, they have children. There's an imprint of consciousness on the DNA, and that goes into our consciousness as well. And so all of that identification is something that in Eastern circles we call the ego. It's that sense of I, that, I am this, you are that, I'm here, you are there. There's this separation, this division between who and what I am essentially, and who and what you are essentially. And of course that's an illusion. That's just a trick of consciousness, a dream or an illusion that the divine has created for itself so that it can more deeply experience the existence as an individual life form, and do that countless times over and over and over again. And so in terms of abundance and lack and so forth, lack is actually an illusion that is born of the ego and all the stories that the ego identifies with. The one has created all of these bodies so that we can experience joy, sadness, pleasure, pain, triumph, tragedy, the ups and the downs, all of that. And of course, there's nothing wrong with that. The divine spent a lot of time and energy to build that. And so there's nothing wrong with it. We're not judging it. We're not saying that you shouldn't have an ego. But now that you have an ego, you might be at a place in your life where you're finding that it's just not working for you. It's not fun anymore. The roller coaster ride has sort of lost its luster. And you'd kind of like to step off that ride and maybe experience life in a different way, in a way that's more open and more connected. And because the ego is defined by its disconnect from source, I mean, that's what makes it be an ego. It wouldn't be an ego unless it was in a separation, in a division, in a disconnect from source. So the ego just exists in perpetual lack. It doesn't have any other choice. That's just its inherent nature. It is always disconnected from the source of all things, and so it experiences lack in all these different ways. And you can experience lack in terms of money. You can experience lack in terms of love, lack in terms of safety. If you lack safety, then you're in fear. So all of our fears are basically an expression of lack. You can be in lack around, like the love of your parents. It can be around just about anything, anything where, you're wanting something, where there's a craving or a need for it. A lot of people have a need for control, so there's lack around control. This is all an expression of the ego. So, in order to live in divine prosperity, you have to see the ego for what it is and come back into alignment with your true divine nature. So what's happening here is that as the one, each one of us is the one, there is no other. The awareness that is looking out through my eyes and is hearing with my ears is the same awareness that is looking out through your eyes and hearing with your ears. And so we as the one are creating our reality in every moment. We are each expressing consciousness and expressing who and what we are as a life form on this planet, and thereby creating our life. So, part of that separateness that we feel is this belief that we are here and the universe is out there, and so we need to go out there and get stuff from the universe in order to fill the inside here. And actually, the universe out there is just an expression of what's going on internally. So you can't go out and grab something and bring it in and then feel fulfilled. It just doesn't work. That's not the setup. In order to feel fulfilled, it has to start from within. And of course, the good news is that fulfillment is actually part of your very nature. The ego is an illusion. It's not really what you are. And so all you have to do is reconnect to your true nature. So, if you are in lack around love, if your inner consciousness is in a place of lack around love, then you're going to be needy with people. We all sort of see this, especially, as teenagers, as youngsters, but even as adults, sometimes people are just really needy and they want, somebody to love them or to give them something or to have a relationship with them. And a really needy person is just not very attractive. And so we back off. And what does that do? Well, that makes that person even more needy because, what they've done is they've expressed their lack. And there's a mechanism where that lack then perpetuates itself. It becomes an even deeper lack. You feel lack, you go into need, everything runs away from you because you're being needy, and then you go into more lack. You're like, oh my God, where is everybody? What's going on? Why can't I get somebody to love me? And it's not until you start to love yourself and you start to really feel that source of love from within yourself that you start to relax and you start to calm down and you start to just be comfortable within your own skin. And then people are attracted to you. Then people actually want what you have. And so that's just a very basic example of how manifesting works. It's about being what it is that you're looking for. Rather than trying to get it from outside, you find it within yourself, and then that becomes part of your expression. That becomes part of your decision-making process, like what you're going to say to people, how you're going to say it, your inner consciousness is going to reflect itself in your intentions and your choices and your actions, and then the universe will respond. And it will respond on the same level that you're putting out there. Now, some other possibilities, if you're in lack around respect, you might disrespect yourself, and then you're going to act in ways that people, don't think very highly of. And so, again, your inner disrespect begets outer disrespect. And if you have violence in your heart, then you're going to have violence in your life. It's going to be really easy to incite you to violence, and then you're going to be around people who, are going to fight with you. People who don't have violence in their heart, they step away. But if they have violence in their heart too, then they fight you back, and then you have violence in your life. So, the strategies that we have for getting the things that we lack just don't work because that lack exists within. We create from that place. You have to address that feeling of lack, and then your choices, your unconscious choices and your conscious choices will come from abundance, and then you'll create abundance. The universe will bend to respond to that, and then you'll be creating abundance. And so this is something you have to recognize happens on multiple levels. There's your conscious choices, your conscious intention. You also have subconscious intention, which comes from your emotions and your wounds and your unconscious feelings and patterns. All that's going on at the same time. So, you might have a conscious intention to be successful, but a subconscious intention that wants to avoid success because you're actually afraid of success. People tend to be afraid of both fear, have a fear of failure and a fear of success at the same time. And so in your mind, you might think, okay, I really want to succeed. I really want to make this work. But on a subconscious level, you have this war going on where there's fear of failure and fear of success going on at the same time. And that's going to affect your choices and affect your ability to be effective. And then, of course, underneath all of that, there's a deeper intention, which is divine intention. And that's your true intention. Your true self is making this intention. And, part of that intention is to experience, the chaos of the ego. But as you drop out of that, that is due to divine intention saying, done with that, ready for the next thing. And so then the next step is to connect more deeply to that, to recognize, okay, something in me is ready to move beyond this. What is that? Who is that? Who am I inside all of this? And in order to get there, you really have to surrender. You have to surrender your ego. You have to surrender your agendas. You have to surrender everything that is trying to get around the pain and just drop in and just feel it, feel everything. The more that you avoid your pain, the more it's just going to keep following you. And in truth, the only way out is through. You can't get out of your pain by going around it. You have to go right through the middle of it. And then it goes away. And then it's done. Once it has its chance to come into full awareness, and then it's had its day, and then it's done, and you can move on. So some other principles here I want to go over to make it really clear, like where does this divine prosperity come from? One of the most important things is living in integrity, and what that means is that the truth has to be the most important thing to you. If you're just looking for another way to get out of your feelings of fear, pain, scarcity, lack, and that's more important to you than reality, than the truth of what's going on, then it's really just not going to work. You're going to, you know, keep making decisions from the ego, which of course loves to escape things, wants to always, you know, be separate from the pain. That's its gig. That's what it does. So if you want to truly move forward, you really need to live in integrity and be really clear about that, and to make truth the most important thing to you. And the reason why this ties in particular is because lack is an illusion. You know, there is nothing lacking right now. It's just that, you know, the ego is in lack because it's disconnected from source. And of course, the ego is an illusion. You are source. So you have to care more about seeing through the illusion than coddling it. You can't coddle your illusion. You can't keep telling your illusion, okay, you know, we'll do what you want to do, and expect that to work, because, you know, you can't change reality if you're in illusion. If you're in the illusion, all you can change is maybe illusion. And probably not even that. But you certainly can't change reality. You have to connect to reality in order to change reality. Now, one of the other things that's kind of interesting is that being healthy is almost synonymous with being in alignment with truth. You know, we might get sick, you know, our physical bodies might get hurt, but on a deeper level, what I'm talking about here is that we create illness by living under the stress of lies and illusions. You know, it takes a lot of work to fight reality. It takes a lot of work to avoid our problems. I mean, it's really, I mean, if you look at people and just see the amount of energy that they put into just avoiding very basic things, just avoiding the truth of their situation, or just avoiding some pain that they've been carrying around with them, it takes a tremendous amount of work, and all that work stresses you out. It's stressful to be disconnected from reality. And so, you know, if you instead align with truth and just surrender and let it all go and be okay, just whatever is true, I'm open to that. Then all that stuff that you're, all that energy that you're expending to actually just be unhealthy, suddenly becomes available for being healthy. And I mean that physically, but in particular emotionally and spiritually, spiritual and emotional health. When you're healthy, when you're relaxed, when you're calm, when you're peaceful, when you're present, that's an indication that you're in alignment with truth. Now, there's another aspect of health that's really important, and it was really quite a revelation when this came to me one day, which is that financial health is just as important as any other form of health. You don't actually do yourself or anyone else any favors by being financially sick, by under-earning, by not making enough money to make ends meet, by going into debt, by gambling, by doing all these things. You know, a lot of times we have a certain amount of guilt around money. We're not supposed to want money. We're not supposed to like earning money or want to be rich. You know, that's very materialistic, and people in spiritual circles really avoid being materialistic. But what they wind up doing then is becoming sick in their finances. And that's not actually very spiritual. That's not a true expression of love for yourself or for anybody around you. You don't you know, help other people to be more healthy and to have a better life by not having a good life yourself. But if you recognize that financial health is important to living in truth, then your life will get better, and then other people will see that, and they'll realize, oh, okay, maybe my life can be better too. So that's a really important thing to remember, is that your financial health is just as important as your emotional health, as your physical health, as health in your relationships. It's all basically the same thing. Now, when you're living in divine prosperity, there's another thing that's important, which is that, you know, your work becomes what you love, and what you love becomes your work. You know, I remember there's a point in my process as I was developing my healing practice. And, you know, I was really kind of stressed out because I wasn't getting enough clients, and I needed clients, I needed work, I needed, you know, money just to pay rent and so forth. And, you know, every month it was a struggle to get enough clients just to pay the rent, let alone pay down debts and whatnot. And what I realized was that I was treating my practice like an ATM machine. You know, here I was trying to be a healer and help people, and I was treating my practice as this cash dispensing machine, And so, of course, no wonder I wasn't getting a lot of clients. You know, there's a vibration to that that goes out into the universe, and you know, people are repelled by that. They don't want to come to a healer who is looking to them as a you know, as a source of cash. And so, you know, that was a really kind of difficult moment for me because I had a, you know, I had an ego around being a great healer, and I was a good healer, but this was something that I hadn't seen before, and it was limiting me. And so I spent some time, and I really just surrendered and let it go. I was like, okay, my practice is actually here to serve others. And if I happen to be able to make enough money doing that, great. If not, then I'll find a way. But I'm not going to let my practice be this thing that I feed off of in this really kind of icky way. And literally, 5 minutes after I really dropped into that realization, I got an email from a rock star who wanted to do all kinds of work with me. We wound up doing many, many hours of work together. And I was just amazed, like, wow, okay, life really can just completely turn on a dime when you surrender, when you let go, when you drop whatever illusion it is that you're holding on to or whatever contraction you're holding on to that is keeping your life stuck in this way. So that was a really important jumping off point for me where things started to have an uptick. You know, each one of these things that I'm explaining to you are things that I recognized at a certain point, and immediately there was a shift, and I started to have a little bit more work, a few more clients, a little bit less debt. And so that's one of those jumping off points. Now, another one was, you know, I spent some time meditating and asking the divine to show me, you know, what's getting in my way as far as taking my practice to the next level. Why am I kind of, you know, I'm doing well, but haven't really broken through. What's in the way here? And what was shown to me was that I was still living my life from a crisis mentality. I was living as if I was in complete crisis. Everything was falling apart. The sky is falling, you know, running around like Chicken Little. And at that point, actually, you know, my finances had gotten to be in a better place, and there was really no reason for me to be in crisis mentality, and yet there I still was, just in fear and constantly trying to, you know, put it all together. And you know, of course, it's a horrible place to make decisions from, being in crisis. You know, crisis is you know, your fight or flight mode. You know, the bear is about to attack you, and you don't want to be thinking then, you just want to be running. And so that's what you do is you run, you know, and that's your only option. But emotionally, if you are making decisions from that crisis mentality, then you're not going to make very good decisions. You're not going to be plugged into the part of you that can make intelligent decisions. And so and you won't be able to make any investments in yourself. You can't think long term. You can't, you know, all you're thinking about is the very moment right now. How do I fix this problem? And it really just doesn't work if that's where you're coming from. All you're going to do is make panic decisions. And we see this all the time. You know, it's amazing that nobody's figured this out on Wall Street. You know, people, you know, like in 2008 and then, you know, 1929, you know, people panic, you know, and then all of a sudden they sell everything off. And then, you know, they're like, oh, we got to tighten our belts. We got to, you know, do all this stuff because everything's, you know, the sky is falling. And you know, you realize, you know, that's actually the worst thing that you can do. All you're going to do is make it worse. And that's a crisis mentality. That's when panic sets in, and people make the worst decisions when they're in a panic. And I would just love it if you know, our political leaders and our financial leaders would at some point get that memo and realize, okay, when things are you know, all going you know, hitting the fan, that's when you have to stop and relax and just relax and be peaceful and calm and present and make decisions from that place, not from your crisis mentality. Now, there's a great quote out there you've probably heard before. It's sometimes misattributed, but it's from Dr. Howard Thurman, and it goes like this. You might have heard it before. Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive, and then go do that, because what the world needs is people who have come alive. And this is really what I want to help people with. This is what my passion, my drive, my calling, my vision is to help people to kind of get out of their own way so that they can do what makes them come alive. So that then that little spark, that flame, can start to spread. You know, when you come alive, then the people around you recognize that and like, wow, that's really beautiful. I'd like to come alive too. You know, how do you do that? And the more people that I can help come alive and connect with their true calling and their true passion, you know, the more of a ripple effect that has, and the more satisfaction I get from the work that I do. And you know, everybody has at least one thing that they do that makes them come alive. You know, it can be anything. You know, what is it for you? What do you do that you just love to do? And you know, it could be working on cars. It could be you know, landscaping. It could be cleaning. You know, I actually kind of like to clean. I like to do dishes. I know I'm a little bit weird that way, but you know, some people actually like to clean, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. There's you know, some people just like to party. They just like to have a good time, and that's what makes them come alive. Now, you know, there can be an escapism element to that. That could just be, you know, a way of getting away from your problems. But you know, for some people, that's just really, you know, where their passion is, and they're really good at making parties. And people can, you know, they love it when people come to their home or to their club or to their event and enjoy themselves. They come alive when they see other people enjoying themselves, and so that's what they should be doing. You know, some people, you know, like just giving work to people, you know, having a business and giving people employment, or, you know, making people laugh, you know, being a comedian, these types of things. It could be anything. So, you know, you have to figure out what is it that makes you come alive? What is your calling in life? What is it that is really in alignment with who you are as a person and what you're uniquely suited to do? And then the only other thing, of course, is you have to figure out a way to make money doing that. You know, there are some things that you can do that very obviously are, you know, you can make money. Other things are not so obvious. You know, like for instance, you know, nobody's going to pay you to sit and meditate. You might love to meditate. I love to meditate. I spend years meditating. You know, but it's really hard to get somebody to pay you to sit in a room and look at your own thoughts. So, you know, you can't just do meditation and make that be, you know, the way that you make your living, but you can find a way to bridge that. You can find some way to make meditation into something that people will pay you for. You know, that could be teaching meditation. That could be writing about your experiences in meditation. You might develop a certain amount of insight and wisdom and stuff. And so write about it and write something very compelling about it, and then, you know, people will pay you to be able to read that. So, you know, whatever it is that your calling is, you might not be able to make a full-time living at it, but, you know, you might be surprised at what you can do. Whatever your passion is, that's really what you should be doing and working towards. So, you know, might need some help and some assistance in figuring out how to get that to bridge into an actual paying gig somehow. But it's possible. You know, that's part of the abundance of life, is that, you know, there's all kinds of crazy things that people do that actually makes them money. You know, they just have to really believe in it and really be clear in their vision and in their calling for it. You know, so when I personally got out of debt, when I finally made my last payment and announced to the world, oh my God, I'm so happy I'm out of debt, one of my friends asked me, what is your secret? And I said, I thought about it, and really quickly I had a sort of a three-step answer. And this is exactly what I said. I said, number one, do what you feel called to do. Number two, stay grounded. And number three, work your ass off on all the issues that have you getting in your own way. And that's really all that it is. You know, there's, you know, your calling, but you have to stay grounded. You know, a lot of times people think, oh, well, this is my calling, and God wants me to do it, and so, you know, the world will just open up to me. And there are certain ways in which that happen, but, you know, you're not here just to do things. You're also here to evolve. You're here to change yourself and the world. And that doesn't happen when everything's easy. And of course, you know, you're going to go through a process of letting go of your ego and your conditioning and your strategies and everything that's not working for you, and that's a process. And so, you know, you have to stay grounded about that. You have to recognize, you know, that there is a physical reality here that you have to connect to, and there is your own process that you have to have. You know, God isn't going to just take away all those problems because you have figured out what your calling is. Now that you have your calling, now you have to stay grounded. Now you have to really connect to a grounded reality so that you can move forward. And then, of course, what gets in the way from there is your own stuff, your own issues, your own ego, your own fears. And so you have to really be willing to spend some time working on those issues. And so now we get back to the part where I told you, you know, there was something that I did that literally doubled my income overnight. And what that was is that, you know, one day I was taking a vortex healing class, and it was a very long one. It was 16 days. It was really, when you're there for 2 weeks and you still have, you know, there's still more to do. It was a very intense process, but it went much deeper. I mean, these tools, even from the first day in my first class, were deeper than anything I'd ever experienced before. And this was taking it to a whole new level, and I was just really impressed by how deeply all this vortex healing went. And so I just got really serious about getting through my issues that were creating lack. And so I sat down and I wrote a list of all the issues I knew that I had that created fear or contraction around money. And then I took them through the vortex healing protocol. There was initially probably about 8, and then over time I, once those were out of the way, it became easier to see some other ones. And there were, you know, really basic stuff, like just lack around money, self-worth issues and feeling like I wasn't deserving, guilt that I had more than other people did, also addiction to money drama. There was something I was kind of addicted to that drama. There was a whole list of things, money as a control issue, money as a power issue, fear of not having enough money to ensure survival, having my self-worth tied to how much money I was making and other, you know, circumstances in my life. So I just went through and I knocked each one out, you know, from beginning to end as deeply as I possibly could. And when I got home from that class, literally just a few days later after I took these issues through the protocol, my volume literally doubled. I went from struggling to get, 5, 7, 8 hours worth of work in a week to having 18 hours worth of work in a week. And, I mean, literally, I did absolutely nothing different. I just showed home. I just got home from this class. And all of a sudden, I was getting calls from people, old clients. I'd been working so hard to try and create a referral system and get referrals from my clients who loved working with me, and they would talk to their friends about me, and just nobody would show up. You know, none of their friends would ever wind up calling me. I was only getting clients that I was actually talking to and meeting firsthand, and then they would become a client, and we'd work together. But beyond that, you know, just I was hitting this glass ceiling. And after clearing a whole host of these issues, all of a sudden I was getting those phone calls and I was getting those referrals, and I didn't have to struggle have a full work week. And from there, you know, there was a cycle and things, you know, go up and go down. And, around the holidays, there tends to be, you know, fewer people calling, they're dealing with their family rather than me. But from that point forward, my income never went below $4,000 a month. And tended to be around anywhere from like 6 to 8 thousand, sometimes as much as 10,000 a month. And here I am doing work that I love. I would be doing these classes anyway, because I just enjoy the work so much. And I'm helping people. I'm still working less than 20 hours a week, and yet I was making enough money to pay my expenses and pay down these debts. In a relatively short amount of time, when you're talking about $70,000 worth of debt, I got it all paid off, and now I'm just like, wow, okay, I'm in a really good spot here. And so if you want abundance, you really just have to let go of everything in your consciousness that is holding on to lack. You have to deal with your ego and the conditioned patterns and failed strategies that it identifies with. So that's divine prosperity. That's the principle there. Is you have to address your inner consciousness, your ego, your sense of lack, all the dramas that you have around your own self and your lack of, if you feel like you are unworthy or you're not smart enough, or you're not good enough. These are all the things that are going to stop you from just doing what you're actually perfectly capable of doing and from tapping into that inner source. And so I want to let you know about a few of my services, some of the things that I can do to help you, now that you've got a few of these principles. And we've only got a few minutes left. I was hoping to get through all this a little bit more quickly, and we just have about 10 minutes left. But I do also want to give you some tools that you can use on your own, independent of me. So I'm just going to tell you a few of my services, and then I'm going to give you a couple practices that you can do on your own time. So, of course, I do private healing sessions. And I, you know, work on all these same kinds of issues with my clients as I've worked on myself to clear lack and clear all these self-worth issues that get in the way. And that works at a distance. And between the, you know, I have a sledding scale and I have a you know, sort of a package rate. And so it all comes out down to about $90 to $120 an hour. And so if you're interested in that, by all means, call me up and we can do some work together. I also do group healings a couple times a month. I'll do a group healing, either a two-hour healing where we'll focus on a particular issue, or a day-long healing in which you can pick two issues, and we'll go really, really deep into those two issues for a whole day, you know, from about 10 until 5 o'clock on a Saturday. And that's $150, and so that's a really good value. You're able to get through a lot of the deep conditioning around two issues that might be getting in your way, you know, all for the cost of, you know, just an hour and a half of my time. And then I also have an ebook, Divine Prosperity ebook, that is for sale on my website. It's just $10. It has some of the principles that we've talked about here, as well as you know, some deeper ones. And I'll be sending you a link for that, and if you're interested in that. And then there's one thing that I really want to get a lot of people interested in and on board with, because I think this will help more than anything. It's a set of tools that I can give you that really just brings in abundance consciousness, and that's the divine prosperity consciousness that I told you I connected with when I was really in the depths of lack and scarcity and fear. There's these four transmissions that came in. And each one has a way of bringing abundance consciousness into your life. One is it's just pure abundance consciousness. You just activate it in a meditation. You intend for it to activate, and you have this amazing sense of abundance consciousness come into your system. And that not only helps you to align with abundance consciousness, but it also helps to show you where you're in lack and where your abundance consciousness is blocked from within. And so it's a great way to just kind of highlight where the work is that needs to be done. The second one is a transmission that I call divine alignment. It basically, it helps you to align with your divine nature and your calling in this life, and creates a deep sense of knowing that you're supported by the divine, that you actually are the divine in everything that you're doing. The third transmission is a really nifty one. It sits in the heart. It's I call it the heart of prosperity. And not only does it bring a sense of heart and abundance and abundant heart into your consciousness, it also dissolves that sense of scarcity in your consciousness. It has a way of, you know, you might bring up that sense of lack with the first transmission, and then this one will help you to dissolve it. But the really nifty thing about this is that you can actually connect that heart transmission with anybody else who also has that heart transmission. And the more people that you connect with, you wind up creating this network that amplifies the power of the entire system of all the transmissions. You can just kind of sit in this network of divine consciousness and abundance consciousness. And so it's a great way to create support for yourself and to get that sense of connectedness and get people together in supporting each other's process. And the more people you get together, the more powerful it is. And then the transmissions themselves become more powerful. And so if you can get a group of people together, and that's something that I'd like to do, is get groups of people together who have received this transmission. And then you know, we're all supporting each other, and we're all getting this amazing sense of divine grace coming into the network of heart that we're all connecting through. And then and there's one more transmission that is also quite amazing. I call it a manifestation device. And what it does is it sits in the second chakra, and you basically use it to align your intention with something that you want to create, and create an alignment with your conscious intention, your subconscious intention, divine intention. Gets your entire energy system aligned in a way that focuses you like a magnet, so that what it is that you're trying to create is no longer something where you have five different intentions all kind of fighting each other, but helps bring your entire system into one single intention and a focused intention, so you can actually manifest that thing. So these are the offerings that I have. I'm going to send you some information on dates and so forth. There's a group healing coming up actually later today and later this week. And then I'm also doing a Divine Prosperity course next week. And that'll be 2 hours. And the fee for that is $77. And it's, you know, I picked that number for a reason. I, you know, part of me would just love to just give it away. And I kind of had to really sit and meditate on that because, you know, I want more people to have it. The problem is that when I first got these transmissions and started giving them away, I'd come back and talk to people later and say, hey, you know, how did that work for you? And they'd say, oh, you know, the class was really lovely, but I never really wound up using the tools and, you know, didn't really have a, you know, like a, you know, longer impact. And so I just realized, you know, when you spend a little bit of money on something, it creates a consciousness of investment. Like, you know, you're not just getting something for free. Maybe you'll use it, maybe you won't. It's like, no, I really want this to work. I'm going to spend a little bit of money in order to get this. And then there's an investment in actually using the tools once you have them. And I had to balance that against making the course affordable, something that even people who are struggling with money, you know, they can find, you know, a few dollars here and there to be able to make it to the course and then get the benefit of it. So that's how I came, you know, to that number, $77. I think anybody can really afford that. Now, we have a few minutes left. I wish we had more. But I do want to give you a couple tools that you can work with on your own time, regardless of any work you may or may not do with me. And the first one is a gratitude meditation. And the importance of gratitude is, you know, we tend to get so focused on what's going wrong in our life and all the things that aren't coming together that we don't notice what's going right. And the problem with that, of course, is, you know, not only does it feel bad to, you know, just notice all the horrible things that are going on, but that creates, you know, that consciousness of lack and contraction and fear. When you're focused on the things that are going wrong, then that consciousness of things going wrong just, you know, has this downward spiral. And you have to interrupt that spiral. You know, if you're in lack, then the universe is going to give you lack, and then you're going to be in more lack because, oh, my God, you know, the universe is creating lack for me. And so, you know, it has this downward spiral effect, and you have to find a way to break that cycle from within. And gratitude is an excellent, excellent way to do that because if you look around, there's always something to be grateful for. And, you know, if you, I mean, I often look at the world through the eyes of the people that I served in the Peace Corps. You know, these are people who are born into a situation where they really have no hope of, you know, at least situationally, of anything other than, you know, mud huts and working in the fields. And, you know, particularly the women, you know, having to raise children, and some of them aren't going to survive. And, you know, living in a very patriarchal society. And so if you think about that, if you think about, you know, the way that people are living right now in this day and age, and the fact that you can listen to me on this webinar, you have access to electricity, you have access to running water, you have access either to a phone or to a computer. You probably live in a building that has insulation and heating and cooling. You know, these are things to be grateful for. I mean, imagine if you were a caveman. You know, all this stuff would be just wondrously abundant. I mean, it's just mind-bogglingly abundant. And even if you have debt, like, well, who cares? You're living in a beautiful house rather than living, you know, in dirt in a cave. So, you know, it's important to focus on what it is that you do have in your life. And so think about that. What do you have in your life that you're grateful for? And it'll be different for different people. I'm just going to throw out a few ideas here, including family. You know, do you have a family that loves you? Do you have friends that care about you? Social networks that help support you even when you're down? Do you have a body? I mean, even if you don't have a healthy body, do you have a body that at least marginally functions? You know, that body took billions of years to create, and it's a vehicle for amazing experiences. And if you not only have a body but a healthy body, I mean, that's an incredible thing to have. If you look at just everything that it takes to have a functioning body, that is by itself an incredible gift, and that's something you can be incredibly grateful for. And remember, these bodies, you know, these used to be stars. Our bodies used to be in the bellies of stars, and those stars lived for billions of years and then blew up, and then created this planet, and here we are on this abundant planet with with all these resources, with a breathable atmosphere, with an ozone layer that protects us. I mean, we've got it good here. You know, just you know, remember that, and take some time to really connect to the fact that however bad things are, there are things that you can be grateful for, and when you're grateful for them, and you connect to that, something in you will relax. And we'll open, and we'll just kind of go, ah, okay, yes. Life isn't as bad as I thought it was. And if you can just kind of hang out in that space, then the consciousness of gratitude will start to emanate, and then the universe will start to respond to that and to give you more things to be grateful for. So that's one practice that you can do. And we are going to run a little bit over time, unfortunately, but it's for a good cause. I want you to have one more practice that you can do, which is basically just an awareness meditation. We tend, especially in the Western world, we tend to think in terms of fixing things. We have to fix things. We have to make things work better. And that's really beautiful, and that's one of our strengths. But you can get stuck in your strength. And sometimes there's a better way. And the interesting thing about our issues and the things that go wrong internally, the lack that we feel and the ego that we have, is that they only work and they only exist because there's a part of us that's unconscious. That's that separation thing. We've separated from, in our conscious mind, we've separated from parts of ourselves. And so the best way to deal with that sense of lack is just to become aware of it. You don't even have to do anything. Just sit and observe your lack and watch how your mind tries to identify with it. Watch how the lack grasps at things and grasps at itself, and it's afraid even to let go of itself. There'll be a fear of not having lack consciousness. And the problem is that we immediately identify with that. And in that identification, we become lack, and so then our life becomes lack. But if you can just take some time, sit in a quiet place, and just take a few deep breaths, and then just observe your own thoughts, observe that sense of lack, observe that fear, observe that crisis mentality, observe that desire to work the angles to get out of the problems that you have, and just observe, just notice. Don't worry about fixing it, just become aware of it. And you might notice that there's something a little bit deeper than what you had noticed before. And so then become aware of that and just notice it and just be in a state of observing. Don't become an observer, just observe. Notice. Become aware. Drop into it. And what you'll find is that just by becoming aware of these things, they dissolve. These problems can only exist because we're not really examining them, because we're running from them before we can, tap into our own divine intelligence that will give us a solution. And so just take a few minutes to notice. And in the noticing, you become more aware, and you become more connected, and you become more present. And as you become more present, your natural divine intelligence will recognize either, oh, I can just let this go, why am I holding on to this? There's no need. And it might even come up with solutions. Like once you recognize, oh, that's what I'm doing. That's how I'm holding on to lack. That's how I'm creating these problems. Once you recognize, oh, that's how I'm creating these problems, then the solution becomes really obvious, which is stop doing that. Stop creating those problems. Stop being identified with the consciousness that is creating the problem in the first place. So these are a couple of tools that you can use, a couple of meditations. Gratitude meditation, just notice the things in your life that you can be grateful for. Spend time doing that. Don't just do that for a minute or two. Don't just do that today. Do that every day. Do that every time you feel yourself going into lack and fear and contraction. Just notice, oh, God, I'm in fear again. Let's think about what I'm grateful for instead. And then, once you've gotten there, once you've kind of come out of that contracted place, you don't want to just use that as another way to escape your feelings and your fears, but you just want to come out of that contracted place, and then you can notice it, and then go into this awareness meditation and notice where that lack is and what it's doing and what kind of muck it's dragging you through. And in that noticing, you'll find that you can let it go. So that's it. I did have a little bit more that I wanted to say, but we're already a little bit over time. I wanted to give you guys a chance to also ask some questions. I'll just remind you that I do offer private sessions for clearing just about any emotional issue that is coming up and creating fear and lack. If private sessions are a little bit too expensive for you, you'd like to make use of the group healings, those are a couple times a month. I have one later today on self-sabotage. That'll be 2 hours from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock today, and the fee for that is $40. And I have a Divine Prosperity ebook. I will email you the link for that. And I really hope that you can make it to the Divine Prosperity course that's going to be next week from 10 a.m. To noon. It'll be a webinar similar to this. You'll receive the 4 Divine Prosperity transmissions, and you can use those on your own time as much as you want. You know, what I want to give you is something of lasting value, something that you get it and it doesn't just run out. You know, you spend $75 on your cell phone plan, and you can use that for a month, and then it's done. It's over. You never get to use it again. This is something you spend the same amount of money, and you'll have those tools for the rest of your life, and you can use them whenever you want. So that's what I have to offer, and then you also have these 2 new tools. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to open this up for those of you that do have time to stay, and if you have any questions, if you're on the phone, you can press *2, and that will raise your hand, and I have a dashboard here, and I'll see that you've raised your hand, and then I can unmute you, and you can ask a question. And if you are on the web and you'd like to see a question, if you'd like me to see a question to answer, by all means, just type it in, and you can see that. Somebody already typed in a question. She asked, are you doing the transmissions next week? And if not, how do you receive them? And the answer, I think I just gave that, which is yes. Next week, we're doing the transmissions. And this week is more of an informational session. So if anybody has any questions, anybody on the phone or on the web, if you're on the phone, press *2, and I can unmute you and answer a question for you. Give you a couple minutes. Here we go. Got a couple questions. I have somebody in Hayward. The name says F. Branch Flowers. So you are unmuted. And what's your question?
Oh, actually, that's not my name, but it's an old link anyway. My question is, I think you've answered this before, is like with these transmissions, would they be fortunately, money is not my first lack. It's more health. So what I'm wondering is, would these be really effective? Not that I couldn't use, you know, more money. I'm not saying that. But the number one priority is health for me. So what I'm wondering is, would these really be instrumental in really helping me reverse the lack around health?
You know, to be honest, I would say yes, but only indirectly. They would help you to be a little bit more in alignment with your own self, with your own divinity, and that can't help but to have a knock-on effect on you know, your physical body. Your physical body is a manifestation of your inner consciousness. But you know, it's obviously more complicated than that. You know, whatever you know, long-term health problems that you have, there's a physical component as well. And I have not observed that these transmissions would, you know, directly impact the body in that way. It would be more of a thing where your consciousness kind of opens up and there's less contraction on a consciousness level. Like, for instance, I've worked with children with autism. And there's a severe emotional withdrawal that happens in autism. And I did some work to help open that up. And that actually had a benefit on his physical health. But like I said, it's a little bit indirect. If you're looking for direct help on the physical level, I would actually be more likely to recommend doing private sessions with me.
Oh, okay. Well, gee, thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome. Okay, we have somebody in Santa Monica. Go ahead. You're unmuted. I have a decline in Santa Monica who had her hand up. Your phone number is 310-968. You are unmuted and you are able to ask a question.
Okay. Well,
that's you.
I'm not in Santa Monica. I'm in Redondo Beach. That's weird.
Oh, okay. Might be your cell phone.
Okay. But well, hello.
Hello.
And thank you for this. My question is, I guess I'm a little uncertain. Maybe I missed something about exactly what a transmission is. I mean, that word, I have a little confusion going around that word.
Gotcha.
You know, I get the whole meditation process, and I get, you know, receiving energy and stuff like that. And so I suspect it's somewhere around there. But I was wondering if you haven't already addressed that, if you could sort of help me clarify that.
Absolutely. Thank
so
you. That's
I
a great question.
Forward.
Yes, yes. I do this work. I've been doing this work for so long. Sometimes I'm not aware of my own assumptions about what, you know, words people understand. And so that's a great question. I appreciate it. So by transmission, what I mean is, you know, transmission of consciousness, something where it's not a verbal, you know, I'm going to give you information, you know, using the sounds coming out of my mouth, but I'm actually going to energetically pass a consciousness from my system into your system. And, you know, something similar to that, you know, they talk in, I don't know if you've heard of Reiki. In Reiki, they talk about attunements. And that's very similar. There's a transmission where, you know, instead of teaching a person intellectually, here's how you channel Reiki energy, it's more of a, you know, you do something energetically to the person's system so that they can then access this this energy. And so it's a similar thing where from my system there are these consciousness tools that I will just directly transmit to your system so that you can basically create a copy of them in your system so that you can access them whenever you want.
Cool. And
yeah.
May I ask a follow-up to that?
Absolutely.
I'm not sure what everybody else's experience has been, but haven't you been doing that for the last hour? Already?
A transmission?
Yeah.
In a sense, yes. You know, not the kind of transmission where there's a tool at the end that you can use,
right.
But more, you know, we're all transmitting our consciousness when we speak,
okay.
and even when we write, you know, and type into a computer. Like whenever you're expressing consciousness, it comes out and is a transmission. And as I've been speaking, I've been dropping as deeply into an abundant space and a place of truth as I possibly can so that what comes through resonates at that level of truth. And,
right.
And so
I've
so that
been receiving a lot of energy from you, so.
Gotcha. Well, thank you. I'm thank you for the feedback. I'm glad that something good is happening here.
No, all kinds of little things have been popping open during the process. So that's cool. So I would like to have more information on how I get to today's seminar. And if I can't make the – I don't suppose this is something you could do on a time delay.
The transmissions, no, at least not yet.
Yeah.
I haven't figured out how to do that. But I will be offering it more than once. I'm basically – this is an expansion of my practice. I'm wanting to do this as often as possible. So there, if you can't make it next week, there will be other options, and I'll make sure that you know about them.
No, yeah, thank you. I'd like to participate. I'd even like to participate in today's. You know, I have some issues around financial stuff, so but I'm very comfortable with $40, and I'm probably
okay.
Comfortable with $77. I'm just going to put that out to the universe that I will be comfortable with it. So,
awesome.
How do I sign up for today? I don't know where you're broadcasting from, but I am here in Southern California. So.
Gotcha. Okay. So anybody who's interested in either today's group healing on self-sabotage or any other group healing coming up, I'll send you an email right as quickly as I can after we get off the phone, and that will have information on those things. And so you can email me, or you can, if you call me today, my home number, my home office number is 707-861-3455. And I'll say that again in just a minute in case you didn't happen to have a pen ready. And so you can call and ask to be included. And basically, we won't get on the phone again. What will happen is once I know that you want to be included and you've paid your tuition for it, then just know that from 2 o'clock until 4 o'clock on the dot, I'll be working on you to release the conditioning and the patterns and the consciousness of self-sabotage. And so you just find a, relaxed place to be for those 2 hours. You can have music running in the background if you want, but, try and be in a place where you can tune into yourself and your process. And then you'll just be receiving the healing from me for those 2 hours. So if you're interested, send me an email, nathan@healingforthesoul.com, or you can call me at my home number, which is 707-861-3455. And I'll try to make sure that you I'll also email you so you have the information you need so you can just access your email and get the information that way. Alrighty?
Thank you. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for your questions. Those were really great. Okay. Anybody else have a question? Let's see if there's any coming from the web. There's a quick question. Is the class next week for Saturday or Sunday? It's for next Sunday, 10 a.m. To 12 noon. And I'm not seeing any more questions. So your last call for questions. You press *2 if you have a question that you'd like to ask me on the phone. Otherwise, you can, if you're on the web, you can send it to me through the web. And no more questions. All right, so I'm going to give you just a, for those of you who are still listening, I'm just going to tell you, give you a few testimonials on the Divine Prosperity course that that I'm doing next week. This is people who have already taken it. One person said that the first transmission felt like I was radiating peace and fullness. The second was stimulating all the chakras, like they were all lighting up. The heart transmission was radiating warmth and light. Somebody else wrote a very lovely testimonial. She said, the second transmission was profoundly moving for me. It highlighted a pervasive old feeling of weakness, ineffectualness, and it replaced it with a feeling of incredible strength and backbone at my disposal. Wonderful. Thank you. The heart transmission gave me a great feeling of peace and gratitude for my fellow beings. Wonderful. Somebody else wrote, it was really amazing when we connected together, and this is where the transmission in the heart networks and connects to everybody else who has that transmission. She said, when we connected together, the energy was quite intense. It was pretty cool. Somebody else said, great idea. I can see using the heart-web connection as a group intention to manifest for raising individual and world consciousness. Awesome. Somebody else said, that second transmission was nice, very reassuring. I really felt the heart-web connection. I can see using this. And finally, somebody wrote about the group meditation. She said, there's a very powerful feeling of love when we connected the heart transmissions. And it felt like the connections created a huge ball of energy around the group. When we activate the first transmission, I felt it strongly in the sacrum, and it goes stronger as more people joined in. When we activated the spine transmission, this is the second transmission, it was very intense and felt really nice. I would like to do this again with the group for a longer period of time. So this is what some of the people who have already received the transmissions and who had that heart connection and that network, what they experienced with it. And as I said, I really hope that you feel, if you feel a resonance with it, that you, think about joining in and receiving these transmissions so you can use them whenever you want. And then I'll also be organizing group meditations where we can all connect our hearts together and create this the synchronistic power that comes through when all these transmissions connect, and the more people who connect, the more powerful it becomes. So it's literally the more the merrier. So one last quick check for questions. *2 if you have one. Not seeing any questions, so I'm going to close the webinar. We've gone over by close to 20 minutes, so I really appreciate those of you who have stayed on, even though it's a little bit longer than advertised. I hope it was helpful webinar for you and that you got a lot out of it. And if there's more that you believe that I can do for you, by all means, contact me. Let me know if you would like either private sessions, group healings, if you'd like to buy the ebook, or if you especially if you would like to receive these four Divine Prosperity transmissions. So thank you all again, and I wish you a lovely rest of your Sunday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank
you.
Thank you. From Darla.
Okay, looks like we do have a quick question here from Edmonton.
Oh, I just pressed star 2 because I wanted to say thank you, and I didn't know what else to press. So thank you so much.
Oh, very good.
Really
thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody.